This is the recap, a review of the day's news in the Tri-States area for Tuesday, April 23, 2024. With Tri-States Public Radio News, I'm Mike Murray. The former Kmart building on Macomb's east side has been empty since the autumn of 2016. That will soon change. The Macomb Area Economic Development Corporation says it will reveal a new retailer for the building at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Carrington Company bought the building last fall and will receive sales tax rebates of up to $1.5 million if at least one of the tenants is a TJX brand retailer. Its brands include TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods. Carrington's plans call for up to four retailers in the building. Iowans at a public forum warned federal antitrust officials that the sale of a fertilizer plant in Lee County could result in unfair pricing for farmers. Iowa Public Radio's Grant Gerlach reports.
Late last year, OCI Global agreed to sell its anhydrous ammonia plant to a Koch Industries subsidiary. At an Iowa Farmers Union forum in downtown Nevada, several speakers mentioned that the state invested in that plant with incentives aimed at creating more competition in the fertilizer industry. Now it could give way to consolidation. Ankeny farmer LaVon Griffun says it's harder to make money when a handful of companies control the supplies she relies on.
We had great crop prices last year. Every time it goes up, everything else goes up with it.
FTC Chair Lena Kahn was at the event and confirmed the agency is interested in the sale. A Koch fertilizer spokesperson said in a statement the company is committed to operating and growing production at the Southeast Iowa plant. I'm Grant Gerlach, IPR News.
A consultant's report finds mental health services in Illinois prisons are among the worst in the country. The report says the Pontiac prison in north central Illinois is especially bad, and that's where many mentally ill inmates are sent for services. Harold Hirschman is an attorney who has sued on behalf of those inmates.
They haven't had enough guards at Pontiac in years, and they can't carry out the programming that they're supposed to be doing there. And yet they somehow, for some reason, insist on keeping it open.
A federal appeals court rejected a settlement agreement late last year to improve mental health services in Illinois prisons. The Illinois Department of Corrections declined to comment on this report. The Illinois Senate passed legislation aimed at supporting local media in the state. The Strengthening Community Media Act would require local news organizations to give 120 days of notice about a sale to an out-of-state company. That would include notifying employees and the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. The bill is now in the Illinois House. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and state lawmakers are touring the state to tout a health insurance reform plan. Illinois Public Radio's Will Bauer reports on the first stop of the tour.
Dubbed the Health Care Protection Act, the legislation bans practices used by insurance companies to hold down costs by denying claims or directing patients to cheaper options. Now that it's passed the House, Pritzker is ramping up pressure for the bill to get Senate approval. The governor says it will make health care easier to access.
For far too long, insurance companies, and not doctors, have been free to determine what treatment options patients should have and how quickly they can receive it. With this bill, we're putting power back in the hands of doctors and patients.
Pritzker and the Democrats in the Illinois General Assembly believe the measure should pass the Senate, which is back in session next week. In Belleville, I'm Will Bauer.
The University of Iowa's Council on the Status of Women says the university is making a mistake by closing a sexual violence support service. Iowa Public Radio's Zachary Oren-Smith reports.
Citing the university's lack of transparency with the community and the addition of barriers for survivors, the UI Council on the Status of Women says it opposes the closure of the Rape Victim Advocacy Program. Iowa City's Domestic Violence Intervention Program says it will fill the gap left by RVAP. A spokesperson for the Domestic Violence Program told IPR News that it will convene a council of community partners and experts to help advise what services the organization will need to add to best serve the eight-county region RVAP oversaw. In its letter, the council specifically said it did not oppose the domestic violence intervention program, but that the university's decision to remove the rape victim advocacy program was inconsistent with its mission. I'm Zachary Oren-Smith, IPR News.
Illinois' U.S. senators are renewing a push to elevate Cahokia Mounds protective status. Democratic Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth want it declared a National Historic Location, which would provide protections for preserving it. Cahokia Mounds is already a state historic site. Researchers believe it's the largest archaeological site in the Americas, north of Mexico. As the country tries to meet its climate goals, tackling emissions from farming will be key. Agriculture is the fifth largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. One climate-friendly growing technique, called biochar, involves literally burying carbon in the ground. And, as Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke reports, proponents say it's good for crops, too.
Nick Cacchetti is mixing up something special in a bucket on his family farm in Lubering, Missouri.
This is biochar.
Biochar. It's a soil amendment, kind of like compost. And it's a super hot topic in sustainable agriculture. It looks a lot like charcoal. Instead of burning the organic matter, it's cooked at a high temperature with almost no oxygen. As Cacchetti pours the biochar onto vegetable beds, you can hear what makes this substance special. It is extremely hollow and porous. So why is Cacchetti so excited about this stuff?
Pure carbon. You know, you put it in soil, it's just there. You can just forget about it. It's gone.
Biochar is a direct way to sequester carbon, which is driving climate change. But there's a lot more to the climate-friendly practice. Biochar proponents say it creates a sustainable cycle of benefits on farms. For instance, recycling organic waste like corn stalks to make soil healthier and bury carbon. Isabel Lima first got interested in biochar more than 20 years ago, before scientists were even calling it that.
We were trying to address the incredible amounts of waste that agriculture produces.
Lima is a research chemist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture and sits on the board of a nonprofit that advocates for biochar. She says indigenous people in the Americas have been using something like biochar for centuries. They would burn agricultural waste and put it back in the soil.
And look very deep in the soil and the Amazon, for example, and we determined that those soils that we would otherwise expect to be very infertile are actually very fertile because of those practices.
Without knowing it, these indigenous farmers were creating a demonstration for modern agricultural scientists. Now, we know biochar makes a really friendly environment for microbes, which can be great for soil and help crops thrive. That's something Scott Boer has seen firsthand. He owns Four Winds Farm with his wife in eastern Iowa. They grow organic hemp, flowers, and herbs. When they first started farming this land in 2020, they had a soil test done.
It was lacking in lots of different areas, so we spent a good bit of money on phosphorus, potassium, nitrogen.
They also applied biochar. Since then, Boer hasn't had to add fertilizer again. He thinks that's because the biochar is holding onto nutrients. Research backs that theory. Less fertilizer is easier on the environment and cheaper. But Boer says the biochar cost benefit takes a while to show up.
If you're in it for the long haul, I think it's a great investment, but it is quite an expense up front.
Cost is one of the biggest hurdles to widespread use, says Miles Gray, program director at the U.S. Biochar Initiative.
It's a relatively small industry. It's growing very quickly. And a lot of that growth is related to the carbon benefits of biochar.
Gray says thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, there are new federal funds to incentivize climate-friendly farming practices, including biochar. But getting farmers into it is still a challenge. Back in Missouri, Cacchetti has experience with this. He used to sell biochar in his first job after college, and knows it has to add up for farmers. As he spreads more biochar out on his farm, he's especially excited that this is a long-term climate solution.
And once you put it in the soil, it's permanent. You can't, go fish it back out.
Experts say this carbon will be locked into the soil for generations.
Pretty quick layer.
For Harvest Public Media, I'm Kate Grumke.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including Tri-States Public Radio. In the weather for our listening area for today, showers and thunderstorms off and on. High should be in the mid-60s with southwesterly winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour, gusting up to 20 at times. And for tonight, mostly clear skies with a low in the low 40s. For TSPR News, I'm Mike Murray. Tri-States Public Radio is part of the NPR network.